welcome you here today, and we've been talking about Mother's Day. Let me tell you a story to kind of set the tone for where I'm going today in my message. It was on a cold January day back in 2007 when a man named Joshua Bell, you're going to see his picture on the screen here in just a moment, who was a world-renowned violinist, decided to do a social experiment. Some of you may have heard about this before. But Joshua decided to go into a subway station in Washington, D.C., where the metro ran through. And he was dressed very casually, unrecognizably. He had on a t-shirt and jeans and a Washington Nationals baseball cap. And he went in there and he took out a very expensive violin, put a hat at his feet and stood next to a trash can. And for 45 minutes, he gave an impromptu concert as commuters would walk by, boarding and getting off of the trains. He would play Mozart and Schubert and very elaborate pieces, play beautifully, just as if he were in a concert somewhere as people walked by. And he put some money in the hat at the beginning, just kind of give an idea for people, kind of really acting like a panhandler. Well, at the end of the 45 minutes, he closed up shop, and I think a few people might have recognized him, but very few said anything. There was no applause. I think he collected a whole sum of about $32. And all of this took place. One of the most famous and renowned and successful musicians of our time, playing some of the most difficult pieces, was largely unnoticed. And folks, I say that illustration because I really feel like that's where mothers are today. Mothers are not as appreciated in our society as they used to be. We're living in a time in our history when motherhood really isn't held in high esteem. In fact, sometimes women are ridiculed if they make a decision to stay at home and raise their family. And in these days and times, you don't get your face on the cover of a magazine for being a good mother. You don't get any trophies or awards. You don't get a bonus at the end of the year. Yet the Bible says motherhood is very important. In fact, the Bible says that motherhood is deserving of honor. And so that's what we want to do today. We want to honor our mothers. You know, we try to honor them a lot of different ways. I saw something cute I'll share with you, kind of lighthearted as we get into this. You know, a lot of children, hopefully most children today tried to honor their mothers in some way, even if it was in simple ways. And I saw these different letters that children had written from somewhere, and it was expressing their love for their mothers. And Angie, who was 8 years of age, wrote this. She said, "Dear Mother, I'm going to make dinner for you on Mother's Day, and it's going to be a surprise. P.S. I hope you like pizza and popcorn." Here's one from a young man named Robert. "I got you a turtle for Mother's Day. I hope you like it better than the snake I got you last year." Here's one from Eileen. "Dear Mother, I wish Mother's Day wasn't always on Sunday. It would be better if it were on Monday. That way we wouldn't have to go to school." Now there's a practical young lady. And then there's Danielle. She wrote, "I hope you like the flowers I got for you for Mother's Day. I picked them myself when Mr. Smith wasn't looking." And then probably this last one sums it up as best of all. It's from a girl named Carol. "Dear Mother, here are two aspirins. Have a happy Mother's Day." Yes, mothers do have a difficult job, and we honor our mothers. And before I get into the text today, I want you to know we honor our mothers for three reasons. There's three reasons why we honor our mothers, because, first of all, we recognize the importance of what they do. Someone said, I don't know who this was original with, but someone said one time, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." What that means are mothers are probably the greatest influencers of the generation coming behind us. And so it's very important. We recognize the importance of the work that you do. And we're going to talk about that a little bit, giving you some practical tips, but not abandoning you, but coming alongside and helping you. The second reason we honor mothers is because we recognize the implications of what they do. You see, even though the world doesn't recognize it and the world doesn't give it the esteem that it deserves, Mom, you're building a person. And I've said this before, but people are the only things we build that last forever. You know, you can build a building. Our Family Life Center is a beautiful building, but it's not going to last forever. 100,000 years from now, probably 1,000 years from now, 100 years from now, it's not going to be here. We can build a wonderful business, and some of you have been successful business people. There's nothing wrong with that. It's wonderful. But businesses don't last forever. Corporations don't last forever. Budgets don't last forever. People are going to last for eternity. Every person who's living and breathing in this room has a soul that's going to live forever in eternity somewhere. And so we recognize the implications of the role of motherhood. And then thirdly, we honor mothers today because we recognize the complexity of the role. You know, there's no manual on how to raise a child. I wish there were, believe me. And some of you are at different stages of motherhood. Some of you are just beginning the journey right now. And oh, how exciting that is, and how you're filled with excitement and wonder and wondering what your child is going to turn out like. And then there's others that are a little farther down the journey. And then there's others that are at another stage of life. And some of you here today, you have aging parents. And now the roles have reversed, and maybe you're taking care of your aging parents. And what a blessing that is. And you're doing a good work, and you're honoring them by taking care of them. And some of you don't have mothers here with you anymore today. And your hearts may even be heavy today. And you know what? You can still honor your mother, even if she's not here today. You can honor her legacy, honor her memory, and honor the things that she stood for. But make no mistake about it. Mothering is not for cowards. It's not easy. Heard another story I've got to share, and then I'll have to get in the text here. But this was a young man who was only 5 years old, and he was in big trouble. His mom had locked him in the closet, and she'd said, "You've got to stay in here until you learn to behave." Well, for a while he was screaming and yelling and hollering in there, and then he quit. It got quiet all of a sudden. And mom actually got a little bit worried because she couldn't hear any noise. She put her ear right up to the door, and she couldn't hear anything. So she said, "Son, what's going on in there? Are you okay?" And finally he said, "Yeah, I'm fine. I spit on your coat. And then I spit on your dresses. And then I spit on your shoes." She said, "Well, what are you doing now?" "Well, I'm waiting for some more spit." Nobody said it's easy raising children. But you know what? We have a model here, and I don't want you to be intimidated by this model, ladies. It's in Proverbs chapter 31. I'm going to take my text from Proverbs 31 today. And the reason I don't want you to be intimidated is because this is really meant to be a tribute to a mother. When you get to the first verse of chapter 31, you see that it's written by King Lemuel, and we wonder who this is. Well, I really personally believe that it's Solomon. We don't know for sure who it is, but a lot of scholars believe that Solomon, maybe that was another name that he used, maybe even a name his mother used for him when he was a child. But regardless of whoever it is, this is obviously a tribute to a godly mother. And in the first few verses, you see that he's reflecting as an adult on what his mother had taught him as a child. And he's reflecting on the good advice that she gave him. You know, children that are here today, your mother gives you good advice, whether you recognize it or not. Your mother has your best interests at heart, whether you recognize it or not. And this son, as an adult, is now looking back and reflecting on what his mother had done that was right and said that was right. You know, no mothers are perfect. That's something else we've got to understand. The Bible, this is pretty cool. The Bible doesn't say honor your mother if she got it right all the time. It doesn't say honor your mother if she was well adjusted, if she never lost her temper, if she was a skilled nurturer, and if she had boundaries that were always flexible, and she had that June Cleaver attitude and persona. No. What does it say? It just says honor your father and your mother. And we need to honor this role of motherhood today that is so important and instrumental in our lives. And our mothers that are here need to know that they're appreciated. That's part of what this is about. So don't be thinking that this is beyond me. This is an ideal, and this is a reflection of someone who's reflecting back on his mother and the good things that she did for his household and for him. But there are some principles in this passage we're going to get to in just a moment. Let me just read a few verses here to get a sense of the text. And I spoke to you about the introduction, but let's pick up in verse 10. And you'll be familiar. This is a very familiar and famous passage about wives and about mothers. And the king writes, "Who can find a capable wife? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her." That's foundational to a good home, and he will not lack anything good. She rewards him with good and not evil all the days of her life. Jump down with me to verse 15. We're just getting some snippets in this whole section. She rises while it is still night and provides food for her household and portions for her female servants. She evaluates a field and buys it. She plants a vineyard with her earnings. She draws on her strength and reveals that her arms are strong. She sees that her profits are good and her lamp never goes out at night. Look at verse 21. She is not afraid for her household when it snows, for all in her household are doubly clothed. Verse 25. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she can laugh at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. Verse 27. She watches over the activities of her household and is never idle. And here it is in verse 28, the admonition to honor, probably the most famous part of this verse. Her sons rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also praises her. Many women are capable, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord will be praised. Give her the reward of her labor, and let her works praise her at the city gate. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, I thank you for this passage that we are reading today. Lord, our mothers are to be honored, and they should be important to us, because we know that you ordained for them to bring life into this world, and you have given them what they need to be successful at motherhood. Now, it's not easy. There's times where we're worn out, we're tired, we're anxious, we're wondering if we have what it takes, but we have what it takes. So I pray that today's message would be an encouragement, and would also encourage us to come alongside as fathers and children, and even as fellow members of a congregation or the body of Christ, that we would help one another. God, I thank you for your love most of all. I thank you that you are a loving Heavenly Father who loved us so much that you sent your Son to die for us. We can never thank you enough for this gift that you gave us of sending Jesus to the cross and for his resurrection. Help me to pray, preach this message in the power of the Spirit, and I pray that you would speak through me as I live and love and learn through Jesus. And I pray this in his name. Amen. So my message today is entitled, What Mothers Need and How You Can Help. What every mother needs and how you can help. And really, this is for everyone. It's a message of encouragement for the mothers, but it's also a message of encouragement for each and every one of you, whether you're a father or a husband, or whether you're a child, a son or a daughter, or even if you're an innocent bystander. We are a community of faith, and we need to help our mothers today. That's really what I want to do, is give some practical suggestions. I see some characteristics in this passage that are characteristics of successful mothers. Again, not perfect mothers, but successful mothers. And I think in each of these characteristics, there's a challenge to us that we come alongside and we help. And so let's get right into it. There's five characteristics that I see that are typical of successful mothers. Number one, every successful mom needs integrity. Integrity is your first fill in the blank, and we can help by giving them our encouragement and accountability. Every successful mother needs integrity, and we can help by giving them encouragement and accountability. What is integrity? Integrity is moral consistency. You're the same person no matter where you are, no matter who you're with. You're consistent day in and day out. You stand on the moral principles that you believe in. You are a person of integrity. You know, when I read Scripture and I think about the greater themes of Scripture, I find that according to Scripture, there are three human institutions in the world that God ordained. Early in the book of Genesis, He ordained marriage in the home. Later on, He ordained human government, and you read about that also in Genesis and later in Romans. And then finally, in the New Testament, He ordained the local church. You read about the birth of the church in Acts chapter 2. But of these three institutions, the most basic is the home. God gave us the home first, and it's all of the institutions rise and fall based upon the health and the strength of the home. Folks, I believe with all of my heart that we are in the condition we're in the United States today because of breakdown of the family, a breakdown of the home. It's because the home is in such sad condition that our country is reeling and headed the wrong direction. Folks, while the husband is the head of the home according to Scripture, I will contend today that the wife or the mother is the heart of the home. She's the heart of the home. And ladies, I want to encourage you and admonish you and plead with you today to be a woman of integrity. You see, a lot of times, and this is a sad commentary on our society as well, but it's the mother that holds the home together spiritually. There's a lot of ladies that are like single mothers on Sunday. Their husbands don't come and support them in church, and they're the spiritual leaders of the home. That shouldn't be that way, but that's the way it is. But women, whether even if your husband is on fire for the Lord Jesus, you need to live with integrity. And listen, the way that moms and dads, parents act in the home, it teaches their children. We talk a lot about witnessing and going places and sharing the gospel, and that's very important. We need to do that. Acts 1:8 tells us that. But folks, we need to be witnesses first and foremost in the home. Our children learn more about God and Jesus Christ in our homes than they do in Awana on Wednesday night, than they do in Sunday school on Sunday morning, than they do in vacation Bible school and upward basketball. And I'm not knocking those things. I love them. You know that I'm passionate about all of those ministries, and I want us to keep doing them and doing them well. But folks, they'll learn more at home than they'll learn anywhere else. And you know, there's a lot of negative influences today in our kids. I mean, we live in evil times. I'll tell you firsthand, there's some things out there that can take kids away and can really destroy them. But still, praise God that if you're attuned and you're attentive and you're doing what you should be, the greatest influencer a child has is a parent. Praise God for that. And so we need to be in parents that live with integrity. You know, when parents walk with God, they give their children a heritage. If you're walking with God today, you're giving your children a heritage. They may not appreciate it right now. They may resist it. You may have a 2-year-old that takes all you've got to get them dressed to get them here to church on Sunday. But one of these days, like this passage says, they will rise up and call you blessed. They will appreciate what you've done for them. So you hang in there. You hang in there and live with integrity. Listen to what Tim Kimmel wrote one time. This is very good. Very good quote. Listen to it. You can't leave character in a trust account. You cannot write your values in a will. You cannot bank traits like courage, honesty, and compassion in a safe deposit box. He goes on to say, what we need is a plan, a long-term strategy to convey our convictions to the next generation. And folks, that starts with integrity. Integrity is the centerpiece of it all. Did you know that a mother's integrity is the centerpiece of her instruction? If she doesn't live with integrity, more than likely, he or she, the child, is not listening to your instruction. Ben Franklin said one time, example was the best sermon in my life growing up. And Edmund Burke said these words, example is the school of mankind, and its first lessons are learned in the home, even before the children can speak. So you're sending a message in the way that you live. Second, a mother's integrity is the centerpiece of her discipline. We've already joked about that a little bit today, but yes, parents have to discipline. We're going to talk about that more in just a second. But integrity is the centerpiece of that. If you discipline a child and you're hypocritical in the way that you live your life, you're sending a mixed message. And you're sending a message that may leave them not only confused, but leave them rebellious and leave them in a situation you don't want them in later in their lives. Thirdly, a mother's integrity is the key to harmony in a home. Man, a lot of times it's the mother that is the peacemaker. She's the one that brings harmony and order and peace to a home. And ladies, I encourage you, maybe that's just in your natural demeanor. Maybe not. I don't know about that in every situation. But be a peacemaker in the home. Be the one that brings harmony into the home because of your love for the Lord Jesus and because of the role that God has put you on. I don't know, this is just my own supposition from being around the block a few times and preaching and being a pastor and even growing up and seeing parents and mothers. But I believe that moms are probably the most spiritually mature people on the planet. I mean, they have to be. They have to be patient. They have to be loving. They have to go the extra mile. They have to sacrifice. And so I believe that your integrity speaks volumes, moms. And so here's the practical part of this first point. You're thinking, well, how do we come alongside and help? Well, we encourage these mothers. We encourage them and we instruct them and we help them. And I'm glad that we have some efforts to do that here at Hillcrest. We talk about small groups, and small groups happen on Sunday mornings and they happen on Sunday nights. And hopefully there's conversations going on in and outside of those small groups. And I know we have some women's groups in this church that long to see older women plug into the lives of younger women. There's older women in this church that desire relationships with younger women. And some of you younger parents here today, man, I encourage you, take advantage of that. Take advantage of the wisdom. Take advantage of the experience. Take advantage of the value of someone who has raised children in their home. And you older ladies that have already raised your children, man, take advantage of that and pour into these lives. It's a biblical principle. Titus chapter 2 talks about older women and younger women. And it talks about what older women are to do. And it says they are to teach what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husband and to love their children and to be self-controlled and pure and homemakers and kind and submissive to their husbands, so that God's message will not be slandered. So we have a role to play as we help our women to be women of integrity. There's a second thing that I believe we need, every mom needs, as she is successful in motherhood, and that's perseverance. The second word today is perseverance. I didn't hear any amens from the ladies on that. I thought I might. There we go. And we can help them. We can help them by giving them love and support. We need to love and support the women in our lives and the women in this congregation as they live with perseverance. And one of the things you can't help but notice when you read this passage is it's hard work. What I read, I guess, I don't know if this is where that the old saying came from, a man may work from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. But a man is sure true in this passage. She rises while it's still night, provides food for her household. She evaluates a field. She draws on her strength. She extends her hands. I mean, this lady is constantly busy. And, you know, that just reminds me that there's a lot of women today. I guarantee there's some women in this room today that are listening to this message, some mothers, that you have two twin things that are threatening you, and it's exhaustion and guilt. I mean, we've got some women that are probably absolutely exhausted, and you feel guilty because you're not everything that you ought to be for your children. Sad fact of the matter is, a lot of our women work outside the home today. It's the nature of where we are in our society, in our world, and many do that, have to do that to make ends meet, and women are exhausted. And so here's the way we can come alongside and help. We can come alongside and help, first of all, dads, by being willing to take on some additional roles. Dads, don't just go home and plop in the easy chair and turn on the ball game when you get home. Nothing wrong with that every once in a while, but consider your wife. Consider your family. Consider how exhausted she might be. And I'll tell you what, not only that, but it's not just dad's responsibility. The children ought to do that. Kids, you ought to long to help your mother, to help your parents, to have an attitude that I'll do what it takes. I see that they're overwhelmed. I see that they're stressed. Just have an appreciation for who they are. You know, this word honor, when we look at the idea of honoring your mother, or honoring your father, that's an interesting word in both the Greek and the Hebrew. I don't like to use those words a lot or throw them out, but the Hebrew word that's used or translated honor, we have an idea of what honor means, but you know what it really means? It means weighty, something that is very heavy, like a heavy load. And I'd say there's some mothers here today that are carrying a heavy load. And we need to help them with that heavy load. And you know what? A church can be a help and a blessing in that. You know, God may lay on your heart as you get a relationship with a young couple in this church that, you know, ought to offer to take care of their kids on a Friday night. We had a ministry like that a while back, and I understand that sometimes we need a break from ministry, but maybe just on your own, without a specific designated ministry, you might just take it upon yourself to call that couple and say, hey, would you like to have a night out? Or just to check in on them. Folks, we're a community and we've got to work together and serve together and encourage together. And I believe with all my heart that mothers and women need our love and our support in this area. Because godly moms have to persevere as they serve sacrificially. I don't know if you realize that or not, but every mother, every successful mother serves sacrificially. She serves sacrificially when that baby is an infant and he's teething and he's up all night. She serves sacrificially when that child is in the grade school years and she's playing soccer mom and running him from place to place, from dance lessons to soccer practice and here, there, and everywhere. She serves sacrificially when he's a teenager and she's on her knees probably half the time praying for him and wondering when he's going to come home. And you know what? The older I get, the more I'm learning, she's still serving sacrificially even after they're grown and gone, maybe with a whole new host of issues. You all know that. You never get them raised. So a mother serves sacrificially. A godly mom also perseveres as they manage diligently. Do you know that godly mothers have to manage diligently? I mean, where would we be if not for our mothers? Mothers who made sure that we ate what we were supposed to. We went to bed when we should. We studied like we should. And we dressed like we should. A godly mother, as we read in this passage, shows she cares by diligently taking care of her household. And sometimes it means she has to take a stand. Sometimes she's got to be the bad guy. Nobody likes to be the bad guy. And make no mistake, in many homes it means war. I don't know why it is, but have you ever noticed that there's some kids that are just born with a natural rebellious streak? Sometimes older, like grandparents like to joke, you're just paying for your raisin. But I don't know. Every mother has to deal with this rebellious streak at some time or another. And the godly mother, she shapes us by making us toe the line. And one day we thank her for it. We rise up and call her blessed, as this passage says. And thing is, I joked around about that five-year-old, but the saddest part is the older that they get, the more that rebellion has consequences. The more that rebellion can really fracture a relationship or a life. When your precious child begins to use drugs, sleeps around, drops out of church, the stakes are much higher. And we've got to be careful. We've got to be on our knees and we've got to be supporting and loving. You know, never look down on someone if their kids don't have it all together. Never look down on someone. You don't know what it's like in their home or in their situation, their shoes. So we need to love and support one another, and especially our moms. Thirdly, every successful mom needs courage. Courage. And we help them by giving them our honor and our respect. You may not have thought about this, but to be a mother requires courage. And moms are some of the most courageous people around. I've seen some courageous moms in hospital rooms. And I've seen them in cancer wards. And I've seen them meeting with teachers and maybe even school board members. I've seen them in a whole host of settings. And they have to be. It comes with the territory. God just puts something in a mother's DNA that says, I'm going to stand up for my kid. I'm going to go to bat for my kid. I'm going to be courageous for my kid. You know, Jesus' mother was a courageous mother. Do you remember when Jesus was dying on the cross? How many of the disciples, his closest companions, those that walked with him for 3.5 years, were there as he was bleeding and dying on the cross? You Bible scholars out there, can you hold up one finger? That's right. John was the only one there. These big, brawny fishermen, tough guys, not a one of them around. But guess what? Jesus' mother was at the cross. She was there to the very end for her son. Mothers are courageous. And you know, from the day that the mom gives birth to the child, to her last day of life, she has a lot of pain in her life. A lot of painful decisions to make. You know, I was laughing about this. I'll make it a little light for just a second here before I move on. But I was laughing about a guy talking about Lamaze class. Now, I never did do that. Maybe I should have. I don't know. But I think Lamaze tends to be a little bit overstated. Some of the things in Lamaze class are kind of funny. This guy was talking about how when you go to Lamaze class, you can't use the word pain. You're not supposed to use the word pain when you're preparing for giving birth. It's discomfort. Yeah, like you're really going to use that word in the labor room. And then the other thing that's kind of funny is the husband is called the coach. Isn't that funny? In Lamaze class, the husband is the coach. Like the husband has a lot to contribute. You know, I know what coaches do. They teach and they instruct. I've seen coaches yell and get in the face of an athlete. And I promise you, the only yelling that goes on in a labor room is not done by the coach, not by the husband. But moms, think about it with me for a moment. That there's pain at the beginning of motherhood, but there's a lot of pain in between as well. They have to make decisions about when to comfort, when to challenge, when to exercise boundaries and when to give permission, when to be tough and when to be soft, when the person or the child can date and when they're not allowed to date. And no mother is perfect. I've said that before. Don't think that you're going to be a perfect mother, and don't think that you were a perfect mother, because no one is perfect. But you know what? One of the things you have to be is courageous. And we ought to honor our mothers for their courage. You know, another word, I mentioned honor in the Hebrew. Well, honor in the Greek kind of gets a better sense or closer sense of what we think about when we think of honor today in our society, in our culture. It involves appreciation. It means to highly esteem or to revere, to admire, to build her up and speak words of value. You know, if there's nothing else you can do today, I hope that you can speak some words of value to your mother, if she's still here today, or to a mother somewhere. You know, our mothers deserve that. Everybody deserves to be appreciated when they're doing a heavy job. This idea of honor being heavy or burdensome. Again, some of our mothers may be carrying a heavy load today. You may not even realize it. So honor them. Esteem them. Maybe one of the best things you can do today, kind of like that clip we saw in the video, is just to go up to your mom or to a mom and say, "Mom, you are amazing. I appreciate what you do for me and for our family." And just honor them. That's what we're talking about here today. Because there's a lot of struggles in between the beginning and the end of motherhood. Number four, every successful mom needs wisdom. And we can help by giving them our prayers and our insight. Notice back in the text, verse 26, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and loving instruction is on her tongue. Well, that doesn't happen automatically, I'll tell you that. There's a lot of times where I open my mouth and anything but wisdom and loving instruction comes out. That's someone who is walking under the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. Our guys that are preaching at Revive Lebanon, which Corey Dudley is one of them, they both gave messages last night, Corey and Kenyon Breedlove, Linda Breedlove's grandson, and both of them spoke on the Holy Spirit and were talking about this idea of being filled with the Spirit. And the only way to have wisdom, to walk with wisdom and to share wisdom and instruct people wisely, is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And so mothers need wisdom. They need the wisdom of the Spirit. Again, there's thousands of decisions, and our culture has such a negative influence on all the family. In fact, I was looking at something. These are the top five cultural influences on kids. And this is going to scare you to death when I say this. Movies. Movies are the number one influence on kids today. You've seen movies that are out there, not many of them are worth even going to see. Number two is TV. Man, if it weren't for sports, I wouldn't even own a TV in my home today. And news, I guess. Music is the third. My goodness, if you hear some of the music today, that's a very negative influence. The internet. The internet is scary, folks. It is scary. And I'll tell you, if you've got a young child in your home, you better get control of that internet as soon as possible, sooner rather than later. Folks, it is a damaging, devastating thing. But then the fifth and final is family. And I believe that's why Satan is working so hard. And I think Satan is working to destroy Christian families. He's doing everything he can to separate and divide and to hinder Christian families, because he knows that that's the last influence. He's gotten control of Hollywood already. For the most part, he's gotten control of the media. He's gotten control of social media to a large degree. But what he doesn't have yet and he wants is the family. Don't let him have yours. Live with wisdom. And folks, come alongside and help. The way that we help our mothers and our families is by praying for them and giving them insight. I hope that we've got a series of messages on prayer we're going through right now, and we're going to get back into that next or in a couple of weeks after Graduate Sunday. But I hope that you'll be praying for our families. You know, probably most of us at some point in time have prayed for wisdom for ourselves. But have you ever prayed for wisdom for another person? Have you ever prayed that a mother might have wisdom? You dads or fathers out there, husbands, have you ever prayed for your wife to have wisdom? You know, that's a very godly prayer. I hope you'll incorporate that. You know, I challenged you last week to spend 10 minutes a day praying. I'll not ask for a show of hands, but I hope that some of you guys are doing that and taking that seriously. Hopefully many of you are. Maybe you can incorporate in there to pray every day for someone in your life hopefully a mother, to have wisdom. Listen to what it says in James chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you needs wisdom, you should ask God for it. He is generous and enjoys giving wisdom to all people. He will give you wisdom. Folks, we need God's wisdom. I can't figure it out on my own intellect. I'm not smart enough. I'm not wise enough. I don't see what's going on in here to know everything I need to know. But God does. And God will help you as you seek wisdom. Fifth and finally, final point today, every successful mom needs faith. Faith is the last word, and faith is the catch-all of the over-encompassing word that incorporates all of these other words. You can't have integrity without faith. You can't have discipline without faith. You can't have wisdom without faith. Every successful mom needs faith, and we can give help. We can help them by giving them our time and our testimony. You see, mothers need faith because it is difficult raising children. And mothers also need faith because mothers tend to worry. Now, I'm not saying that men out here aren't worrywarts too, but mothers in particular really tend to worry a lot. In fact, there are some mothers out there that probably worry enough for the entire family. And Jesus wants you to know that there is an alternative. There's faith. Jesus says not to be troubled in John chapter 14, but trust in God and trust in me. You see, moms need faith when they're tempted to worry. Moms need faith for the big things that trouble them. They need faith for the little things that trouble them. They need faith every day in their life. We kind of talked about that last week on Give Us This Day, Your Daily Bread. So I want to ask you today, mother, what are you tempted to worry about today? And when you are tempted, what do you do with it? Do you go ahead and worry and then get mad at yourself after the fact? Folks, listen, according to the Bible, every time you're tempted to worry, that's also an invitation to put your faith in the Lord Jesus, and to recognize that He's there for you. And there's a difference between the two. You know, when you worry, it looks like you're doing something at the time that's productive, but really it doesn't do a thing for you. Putting your faith in God looks like you're not really doing anything, but later on it has a great benefit or provides a great lesson. And so putting your faith in God is what you need to do during these troubled times of life. In fact, Philippians chapter 4 says it as well as any, verses 6 and 7. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses every thought, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a verse to hang on to as a mother, as you hold on to your faith. But there's a second and final reason why mothers need faith. Moms need faith because of the powerful message that it communicates. Mothers, I don't know if you fully understand this or not, but the most powerful message you can send to your children that are still in the home is this message of faith. This message that you truly trust God. You trust Him with the trials and the struggles of your life. You trust Him with the difficulties you face. You trust Him even with the responsibilities you have as a mother. And when the chips are down, here's the question I've got. What kind of faith are you painting for your children at home? Man, that is so important. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5 says, I have been reminded, this is Paul writing to Timothy, of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandma Lois, then in your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded lives now in you also. Well, I've got to wrap this message up today, and let me wrap it up this way. What is it that your mother needs from you today? Does she need your appreciation? Does she need your support and your love? Does she just need for you to repent? Mother, what do you need in your life today? Which of these qualities do you need so that you can be the mother that God not only helps and strengthens, but that one day children will come around and say, I'm blessed to have a mother like that. You can be that kind of mother, but you know what? There's some things you need in your life, and there's some things that we need to come alongside and help you with. I'll tell you a final story, and then I'm done. Several years ago, there was a country song, and it told a story of how a kid gave his mom a bill. He gave her you see what was happening? This kid was really tired of doing all the chores around the house, and he made a bill for the things that he had to do week in and week out. For instance, mowing the yard. He assigned an amount to it, made a bill, picking up his room, making his bed, folding the laundry. He had an entire list of things and had an amount on every bit of it. And he presented it to his mom. That was probably not one of his better moments. It was itemized and totaled up. Well, she looked it over and she gave him a bill back. And this is what it said. For bringing you into this world, no charge. Rocking you all night long, no charge. Wiping your nose, bandaging your knees, kissing 1,000 owies, no charge. For staying awake all night, worrying, feeding you, clothing you, no charge. Well, one guy heard this song for the first time and he felt so guilty, he went to his mom and asked, how can I thank you? His mom was quite a jokester. She said, I'll take the money. But anyway, the point of the whole thing is, when moms are doing it right and dads are doing it right, we owe them a debt we can never repay. Folks, I could never repay the debt I owe to my parents. I'm a better pastor and a better man today as I stand before you because of my godly parents, and I thank God for those parents. But you know, there's a greater message there in that. We have a God who's like a faithful mother. And I want to close with this verse in Isaiah 49 and verse 15. And this is a comparison between a woman who's given birth to a child and God the Father, our Heavenly Father. It says, can a woman forget her nursing child or lack compassion for the child of her womb? Even if these forget, this is God saying this, yet I will not forget you. Look, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. I just want to close by saying God loves you. Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, and He hasn't forgotten you. You may be a wayward child today. You may be struggling. You may feel all alone. But God loves you, and He's faithful. He just is waiting for you maybe to come to Him. Come to Him today. Father in heaven, I thank you as we've looked at these principles for successful motherhood. We see you all over them. Lord, we see the characteristics and qualities are very similar to the fruits of the Spirit. Lord, we need your Spirit to move in our lives, and we need to be filled with your Spirit so that we can be successful as mothers or fathers or any role we have. God, we also see that to help mothers, we've got to come alongside and help them. And even if we are not in a child-rearing situation right now, we can still provide advice and support and prayers. Help us to be a church that moves together. Lord, we don't forget anyone. When others in our church rejoice, we rejoice. When others weep, we weep. But help us to just take care of each other. And I especially lift up our mothers today. Give our mothers everything they need to be successful in this daunting task. And I thank you for mothers today. God, I also pray that if anything needs to happen in this invitation, if someone needs to come forward and join the church or make a decision or just pray at this altar, give them a freedom through the Holy Spirit. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.